I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Friday, there was a little bit of a seismic shift in politics. All of you noticed it over the weekend. We saw our clearest sign yet that this radical insurgent movement in the Democrat Party is succeeding. And they are ending what has always been known as the Democrat Party in America. After a months-long pressure campaign from the far left, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries finally relented. He gave in, and he gave his endorsement to the socialist running to be mayor of New York City. The House Democrats have chosen a side. They were forced to by that far left that they're so terrified of, and they've shown the world what they really believe. There is no longer a place for centrist and moderates in their party.
No, they made that very clear the other day. That is Speaker Mike Johnson. And talking about Hakeem Jeffries finally stepped across the line and said, I'm with Zohran Mamdani. This is after New York governor and running again, Hochul, did the same thing. You would not think there's any more room for them to move left, but they are desperately trying to do so. Whatever they can do to make sure that you understand this is the new party, and it is a party that is destructive from the beginning. And they've got all of these folks lined up that are going to back and support everything Mamdani and everyone else in his little circle want to carry out in New York. Babylonian Bee put out an interesting piece today. Listen to this. Zohran Mamdani, the winner of the New York City mayoral Democratic primary, vowing to knock down the One World Trade Center to build more affordable housing. Now, that's Babylon Bee. But you know what? It's really not that far from his plans to destroy that city. We're going to get into that in more detail for you. Thank you for joining us. Our number one, Larry Connors USA. Here we are, October 28, 2025. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. Very easy to do. Go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later. In case you miss any part and you want to go back, either watch and or listen. And when you do, please share with others. Simply push the share button. You'll find the podcast at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com. Larry Connors USA Facebook, and we're on multiple platforms. I cannot keep up with all of them, and I cannot keep up with all the numbers that are joining us, but we truly appreciate it. And reminding you with Larry Connors USA, with Larry Connors USA, every hour you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and you're going to get education. We're going to flood you with information you do not have right now. So when you finish each hour, you walk away with a lot more information than you have at this very moment. Let me give you a preview of what's coming up. I'm going to replay something that happened yesterday on the Mike Ferguson Show. It was a World War II vet who had been finally identified, his remains identified, 80 years after he died, and coming home. A full honor guard welcoming his remains. And Mike Ferguson and his wife were on board that flight and could watch it from the plane as it took place. And we're going to give you more background on that young man. He was held for a period of time at Bataan. We do not know if he was part of the death watch or death march, but we'll give you what details we do have on him coming up later in our second hour. And also questions about the legality of the pardons signed by Joe Biden's auto pen. How legal are those? We'll get into that in more detail. And later this hour, tonight's story behind the story. Why and how Larry Connors was on top of the arch. standing out there for quite some time. If you follow my Facebook page, you've probably seen the picture. It's not Photoshop. It's for real. And I'll describe that experience firsthand and some other background about the arch you might not know, coming up in the story behind the story later this hour. So here we have Governor Hochul stepping forward and finally saying, I put my name behind Mondami and am full support.
This is about this November's election, but take that energy, that passion, and take it into 26 so that we can take back the House of Representatives, take the Senate, and take back our country. With your help, we will. Elect Soren, and we take back America. Thank you, Queens. Thank you, New York. God love you guys.
But he does not want to take back the country for America. He's already making it clear. Cuddling up cozy with an imam who was part of a conspiracy, unindicted co-conspirator, in the World Trade Center bombing back in 93. He has not denounced the guy. In fact, he goes around to various Muslim mosques campaigning with him. Congressman Andy Olds, Republican of Tennessee, is calling on the Department of Justice to denaturalize and deport Mondami. The congressman writes, since the initial inquiry in June, additional public reporting has raised further questions about Mondami's past statements and associations, including his refusal to disavow violent anti-American rhetoric and continued public praise for individuals convicted of providing material support to Hamas. So despite what Kathy Hochul said, Mondami is really not interested in bringing more America to New York or our nation. Mondami holds dual citizenship with the U.S. and Uganda. He was naturalized as an American in 2018. But I stand by the fact that if you're here in our country, naturalized or not, then we will revoke that citizenship. But New Yorkers, they continue to gather around him. And don't just take my word for it. I would never expect you to do that. And you may not take the man you're getting right here in a moment, his word. But he points out something that's certainly startling and beginning to bother him more and more. Joe Rogan.
Worst case scenario is a state adopts Sharia law. This is worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And I think all these people that would cry against the concept of Islamophobia really need to understand what that means what you're talking about. And to say that that's an outrageous and ridiculous idea that's never going to take place, it's kind of already worked its way into some societies.
It has.
And there are, is it Minnesota that has call to prayer? Like, is it Minneapolis?
I don't know where. I know that there is a place in Minnesota, I believe, where they have prayer calls as a matter of local government. I do think that's happening.
That starts getting real weird.
Yeah.
Well, stuff like that starts getting real weird. And when you have people that are openly saying our goal is, and they've talked about this in Toronto, like activists have said, our goal is to outbreed everyone who is not Muslim and vote it out and put Sharia law in place.
Yeah.
And Sharia law, every woman out there should fear that possibility. You will be forced to cover your body from head to toe with just a slit for your eyes. You will not be able to talk to any man other than your husband or a male relative. And you will be stoned and beat to death if you break any Sharia laws. And for all the LGBTQ community out there, this is your notice that you also will be subjected to harsh punishment and death under Sharia law. Well, Larry, that's not going to happen in our nation. It is if you allow it. Now, what's the difference between a call for prayer and church bells ringing on a Sunday morning? Yes, that's a call to come to church, but it's not mandatory you go. Under Sharia law, if the call for prayer takes place, every Muslim is supposed to bend and take, at that moment, prayer in their heart and their mind. And I will stress to you, not every Muslim is in favor of Sharia law. Look at the various Arab Muslim countries around the world. They do not all enforce it. And there are good Muslims, and there are those who have become jihadist. But one American expressed real fear that at this rate, if they're going to outpopulate us, which they're certainly doing, and continue to push and pull strings to put radical Muslims in charge of various counties and states, what would be the final outcome?
We are the messengers of the messenger. We are the representative of this deen of Islam. We have to be the solution. The future is ours. Every ideal nightmare of a Muslim Europe will come true. They can be as mad as they want. I don't care. America will be a Muslim country. Russia will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We have to be a part of that change. We have to be a part of that da'wah. We have to be a part of those ghuraba who stand firm on our aqidah and our practice and our deen and never ever apologize. We're unapologetic. Never ever compromise. We're uncompromising.
Uncompromising. We are a nation of freedom. Free to practice the religion you want without penalty. But under Sharia law, there will be only one religion. It will not be Christian. It will not even be moderate Muslim. It will be jihadist radical Muslim. And now everyone in New York is celebrating Mondami, about ready to become New York City mayor. They are blind, deaf, and dumb. I want to raise a question for you. Just off the top of your head, how many times has the left demonized Trump by calling him and his followers Nazis? Well, in their mind, those who have done so never did.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say that.
I don't
that
think any Democrat has. I actually and I think it's a smear that they project back onto critics.
I don't think anybody in this debate can name me a high-ranking elected Democrat who has called Donald Trump Hitler.
I don't even know what to call him. I've called him so many things, but this wannabe Hitler for sure.
He is paving the way to become a Vladimir Putin or to become an Adolf Hitler or a Kim Jong-un.
The last voice, Congressman Goldman of California. Prior to that, AOC calling Trump a Hitler. And in the midst saying, I don't know if anybody that's ever said that, and I never have, J.B. Pritzker. You want your proof? Here it is.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. The dangers that we saw in Nazi Germany are the dangers that we need to react to now.
Well, I think everybody understands that at this point, we've got an authoritarian in office.
It doesn't take very long to tear apart a constitutional republic. Indeed, the Nazis did it in 53 days. That's not the country we live in. You know, you shouldn't have to walk around with papers the way that they did in the early days of Nazi Germany.
I do not invoke the specter of Nazis lightly.
How can you possibly compare what happened in Germany in World War II to what's going on here in the United States?
We're talking about the death of a constitutional republic. That's what happened in Germany in 1933, 1934. And we're seeing today that you've got an administration in Washington that's ignoring court orders. This is literally the end of the republic as we know it. If we don't stand up to Donald Trump.
But I didn't really call him Hitler. Everything you said, Pritzker, did do so. If you're talking about dictators, we had that during the Biden era. weaponizing every member and department of our government to go after Trump, MAGA people, anyone that they thought they didn't like. And Pritzker says, well, I never really called him that, but, you know, we're getting closer to where you're going to have to show your papers on the street. We're getting closer to where we're losing our republic. We're getting closer to a man in power that should not be in power. They feed on this trash. This is the bottom of the scum. And they're sucking it up and pushing it back out as if this is what's going to happen. They got to worry about what's happening inside their own party to some extent. One of them, radical leftist Jasmine Crockett, Democrat of Texas, had a secret stock portfolio, according to a piece published by the Washington Free Beacon. She owned stocks in at least 25 companies she did not disclose to the public. And remember back in September, Crockett claimed, just because people commit crimes does not make them a criminal. It depends on the person's mindset. These are the kinds of wackos that want to take over our nation. From Mondami to AOC to Pritzker to Crockett and all the rest of them. They had no problem whatsoever in lying to you and giving you a false story of what's going to happen. Come into my parlor. I would not go through that threshold. And we need to be aware and vigilant every step of the way. Protect freedom of religion, but also protect this nation that provides that. Do not hand the keys to New York City to Mondami, but that's going to happen. And how many more keys will he accumulate? Coming up, Ron DeSantis in Florida considering legislation to allow ivermectin sold over the counter. A closer look at vaccines with an expert. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? you need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. The offer St. Louis cannot stop talking about being held over due to popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you could qualify for zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal by Anderson is the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. You've trusted that name for more than 122 years. And our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. Anderson products are also proven to increase your home value by at least 15%. Don't miss out. Schedule your complimentary consultation today at rbastl.com or call 877-WINDLES, 877-WINDLES. Renewal by Anderson. Award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Reminding you, coming up before we wrap up this hour, today's story behind the story, standing on top of the St. Louis Arch. That's before we wrap up this hour. Right now, I've got a guest with expertise on so many levels. He co-authored with Dr. Peter McCullough, in fact, was the primary author of their best-selling book, The Courage to Face COVID-19. And he is also author of Vaccines, Mythology, Ideology, and Reality. John Leake, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you've got extensive credentials. I could spend all day going through that, but I'd like to dive into some of the material right away. I'd mention going to the break for the audience that Ron DeSantis is expected to sign legislation in Florida to allow ivermectin to be sold over-the-counter. Good idea?
Oh, it's an excellent idea. The WHO characterized ivermectin as a wonder drug for various parasite illnesses. There's actually a statue dedicated to the founder or the discoverer of ivermectin in front of the WHO headquarters during the COVID-19 pandemic. It was also discovered to have antiviral properties. And there appears to be promising emerging data that it has anti-cancer properties. It also has one of the safest safety profiles of all drugs on the market. So this is a great idea. We commend the governor for doing this.
Well, Dr. Fauci, or as I call him, Dr. Fake, the man of science, said that you're basically talking about taking a horse medicine.
Yeah, this was all just a propaganda smear campaign that was orchestrated by this vaccine cartel. They wanted to exploit the public fear and distress about the COVID-19 pandemic in order to have an enormous opportunity to roll out their new genetic shot platform, that is to say messenger RNA. They wanted to suppress anything that could possibly make anyone hesitate to get this new dangerous experimental shot. And so the perception seems to have been, if the public believes that a safe and effective old drug could take the edge off the illness so that they could easily get through it, that might contribute to hesitancy to get a new gene therapy shot. And so there was a massive campaign that was waged to smear ivermectin. We had guys like the late night show host Jimmy Kimmel,
right,
doing his part. So this is all just more lies and propaganda. I think the American people are awakening in multiple public policy domains that our U.S. government, our mainstream media, they're just a bunch of liars.
Well, let's stop there for a moment. I mean, we have and have had in the past a great reliance on our national institutes of health and various medical fields and doctors and scientists. We gave them credence, acceptance. That trust is gone. It's broken. How will you ever get that back if we face another true pandemic?
Well, I think the trust has been terribly betrayed. The pharmaceutical industry, which pursues a fanatical endeavor of lobbying and advertising and manipulating society at every level in order to push their products, have captured not only our public health agencies, but also our academic medical journals. And so we're just surrounded by propaganda. How will this be won back? I don't know. It's a hell of a thing when old institutions betray the trust of the people.
And you're battling,
it's not going to be easy.
You're battling them. Your new book, and again, the title of the book is Vaccines, Mythology, Ideology, and Reality. Now, let's deal just with the word vaccines to begin with. You are looking at the advocates of vaccines often proclaim, well, we're following the science. Are they or are they not?
Well, in some instances, scientific, empirical science and proper experimentation and impartial inquiry are followed. But this is a 300-year enterprise, and we have found in our investigation of this 300-year enterprise that a lot of what's driven this has been wishful thinking, powerful commercial interests, heavily biased evaluation of whether they actually are safe and effective, you know, a lack of scientific inquiry. It starts with falling in love. Mankind fell in love with vaccines at the end of the 18th and beginning of the 19th century. And, you know, they say love is blind. Once you have this very large confluence of interests and hope, and much of the hope is understandable because infectious diseases were an enormous problem and burden for humanity back when we had no sanitation, poor nutrition, poor housing, you know, massive coal smoke pollution. I mean, I could go on, and people right. drank sewer water right. and were undernourished. The conditions in which we live today are completely different from the conditions in which the vaccine enterprise emerged at the end of the 18th century. So we see a great deal of biased evaluation in this. Our book is not an anti-vax book. We see merit and utility in the concept. It just, what we advocate is that all of this religious zealotry for vaccines needs to be replaced by common sense and actually returning to the realm of scientific inquiry. Now, it's just orthodoxy and heresy.
With that in mind, again, you're listening to John Leake, author of Vaccines, Mythology, Ideology, Reality. Where does RFK Jr. fall on that scale?
Well, I think RFK Jr. completely understands the basic themes of our book. He himself has written extensively about this subject. What he is contending with now is that when he stepped into the Health and Human Services bureaucracy, which has tens of thousands of people working for it, he stepped into a den of snakes, mm-hmm. People who, you know, wish to maintain their entrenched interests. So if he's going to open this up for scientific inquiry, and we've seen, you know, some evidence that he's working on that, he's just going to have to constantly contend with entrenched interests who are trying to impede him.
And entrenched interests are pharmaceutical companies and all the money to be made.
Well, it's not only that, it's the whole structure of our federal health agencies has been infiltrated by pharmaceutical interests. Also, our Department of Defense, our intelligence agencies, they've all been infiltrated by this massive industry unto itself called biodefense. Yeah. You know, the irony of biodefense is it was the biodefense establishment that created the causative agent of SARS-CoV-2. This was American biotechnology that was shared with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So what we see is that the U.S. biodefense establishment is creating the very pathogens that they then proclaim to be saving us from. It's a monstrously corrupt enterprise.
I would have to correct you on one thing. It's the Department of War, not Department of Defense.
All right. John, on
the point of how do we hold the line, though, because we're going to see more of this coming. And I agree that I think, let me ask you, do you not think we should be doing research on some viruses to find out how they might attack the populace and how to control them? I agree with it, but not using China to do it.
Well, I mean, there's research and there's deliberately amplifying the transmissibility and virulence of viruses to make them dangerous to humans. Remember, you know, that's what was done with SARS-CoV-2, the causative agent of the COVID-19 illness.
Right.
It was deliberately manipulated in order to make it transmissible to humans. So, you know, everybody has to ask themselves, you know, what is the greater likelihood that you'll have some long evolutionary process with intermediary species whereby a virus becomes transmissible to humans? That's a theoretical prospect. It could take millions of years, if ever. Well, which is more dangerous, that or scientists deliberately making it transmissible to humans in a lab?
Point made.
I mean, it's obvious that it's the latter.
Point made. John Leake, author of Vaccines, Mythology, Ideology, and Reality. And we just scratched the surface. We're going to have you back again, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the interview.
You bet. Thank you very much. Coming up, I get up one morning and I know my assignment. Go stand on top of the arch. How did that happen and why?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him 636-532-1922 or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. Back pain? follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Many years ago, when arriving in St. Louis to begin a new job, driving over a section of Interstate 55 into downtown, I could see a glistening in the distance. It was the Arch. Now, in my naive mind, I believed that the Arch spanned the Mississippi. Obviously, it doesn't. It's all located on the Missouri side. There are a lot of stories around the Arch, things that have happened, some not so good, some raising issues of race, believe it or not, and then some built up on fantasy that it repels storms from hitting the downtown area. Oh, and there's always a story. When the Blues win the Stanley Cup, the Arch will fall. That didn't happen, did it? The Gateway Arch, 630 feet tall. 630 feet. If you took a leap off that from the top, you're fine until you get to 29 feet, 11 inches, just as your nose touches the pavement. In the next instant, it's over. 1990 was the 25th anniversary of the completion of the Arch. It was completed October 28, 1965. I was at Channel 4 at the time, and we had decided to do a documentary. And the best way to do the documentary is top it off with some amazing video, standing on top of the Arch. It was not done with photo, makeup, or any artificial intelligence. It involved actual people on top of the Arch. That morning as I left the house, my wife asked, what are you going to be doing today? I said, I'm not really sure. I knew what I was going to be doing, but I wasn't going to tell her. Didn't want her to worry about it. I was actually anxiously looking forward to it. I'm not afraid of heights. My greatest fear is I will decide to jump. That would not be a good idea. Many have asked, how do you even get on top of the Arch? When the Arch is closed for visitors, there is a trap door at the top in the middle. They have to open it up, bring a ladder out, and climb up. They do that to replace or work on the aviation warning light. We had gotten permission to go up on top of the Arch and see it in that great fashion. Very rare. Only a couple have ever done it before. The maintenance guy at the Arch, that works for the Park Service at the time, had probably done it more than once, simply while replacing or checking on the aviation light. When I got up on top of the arch, there were two ropes, two cables. One had to stay with the Federal Parks employee. He could not come off the cable if he's on top of the arch. He could lose his job and, of course, his life. The other cable I gave to our photographer, because when you got your eye buried in the lens, you might misstep. But it is true, for a period of time, I stood on the arch no more than an arm's length from the aviation light, but stood without a cable. Later, when you shot the video, I put the cable on and the parks employee sat down with his legs inside the opening. I want you to think of something. The width of the arch at the top, 17 feet. I'm standing in the middle of 17 feet. You got about 8.5 feet on either side, and you're off the edge. The wind was a little brusque that day. That's when I actually had hair, and you could see my hair blowing a bit. And it would be like if you're standing somewhere, your feet are planted, and I just kind of take my elbow and shove you a bit. Not really hard, but some. That was kind of the force I was encountering. The arch has been engineered to withstand extreme winds, and it does sway in 150-mile-an-hour wind, which it was not that day. It can sway as much as 18 inches. Normal conditions, the arch does not sway to any noticeable effect. You get winds of 50 miles per hour, it can cause a shift of 1.5 inches from the center. It was not that strong that day either, or we would not have done it. It is built to supposedly withstand earthquakes. Now, while I could stand in the center of the arch, next to the aviation light, 15 feet, the sides, we were determined, I could probably walk maybe 20 feet before I would begin to encounter the curvature of the arch. Not a good place to be, because once you hit that, there'll be no recovering. There's some history on the arch that some of you may not be aware of. When they actually started building the arch, actuarial firm predicted 13 workers would die in the construction. As it turned out, no one died during the construction. There was a civil rights activist at the time that saw the arch as a token of racial discrimination. Some of you might remember his name, civil rights protester Percy Green. So Percy Green and Richard Daley, both members of Congress of Racial Equality, climbed 125 feet up the north leg of the arch to expose the fact that federal money was being used to build a national monument that was racially discriminating against black contractors and skilled black workers. 4 hours later, they got off the arch, and then more jobs opened up for black workers. The original content or proposal of the arch, it would employ maybe 1,500 to build it. The actual number came closer to 100. President LBJ and Mayor Cervantes picked a date for the topping out ceremony, but the arch was not completed by the time they had picked, so it got reset. Workers were working double shifts. By October 17th, the arch was still not complete. They moved it to October 30. That was to allow 1,500 school children whose signatures were placed in a time capsule to attend. That time capsule contains signatures of something like 762,000 students and others. It was welded into place before the final piece was put in place. If you've ever watched the building of the arch in the museum below, I strongly encourage you to do so if you haven't. But they're spraying water on the top of the arch while they're trying to hoist in the centerpiece, locking them together. Construction had been fine in raising it and reaching the point where they would join. But the final section had to be put in place. And the rising temperature of the day meant the aluminum skin was beginning to expand. So they were spraying water across it, trying to keep it cooler and not expanding as much. So it went from being a great feature for the St. Louis skyline, a unique feature for any skyline, to being a token of racial discrimination and back to being a monument. Of course, the full title is The Gateway to the West, not the Arch, as the more common name is, the Gateway Arch. It is Missouri's tallest accessible structure, all built as a monument to the westward expansion of our nation. Now, that's some of the background and some of the story of what it was like to stand on top of the arch. But there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So standing on top of the arch, we could tell many faces were in the office buildings surrounding the arch, or at least, of course, to the west of it. And folks were calling in, something's going on the arch. We had the station helicopter go over the top. And that is one of the more amazing photos to me, because what you see is just a thin ribbon and three men standing on top, and it just drops off beside them. Pretty fascinating video. Folks thought it was a gimmick, wasn't sure what was involved. And, of course, then we got the word out of what we were doing. And immediately the word came down, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen again. So for the benefit of my station, no one else is going to get to do that. Those who were watching from the windows, I've had people tell me that, I saw you on top of the arch. It had to be you. You were the one in the red, right? Yep, I was wearing kind of a red pullover. The winds were brisk, not to the extent that I couldn't withstand them. And when I say I was standing for a period of time without any harness on, I stress to you again, I stayed close enough where I could reach out and grab the aviation light if I needed to. So I wasn't really in fear at any point. It goes down in my book, in my career, is one of the highlights. Something that few, if will ever do, ever have done. I would do it again if given the opportunity. There were the stories, and they did indeed happen, that a guy had, using sucker devices, climbed up one side of it at one point. There were also those who tried to parachute through. A couple had no issue. One landed on top of it, but then the chute above him collapsed, and he started sliding down the arch, and the chute would not redeploy. And, of course, it's restricted to planes going through it. Although there have been reports from time to time, some pilot might be talking about daring to do it. Bad idea. That night, when my wife understood what I'd been doing that day, she was furious. You've got two daughters, and you go out there and stand on top of the arch. Why would you do that? Baby, it's a great story. She muttered something, and I'm not sure she said it this way, but I think I heard something like, we're going to need more insurance. Maybe I just imagined it. Well, tomorrow, another story behind the story in our 6 o'clock hour. Personally testing the viability of a bulletproof vest. Yep, I was wearing it. At least that was the plan. That'll be tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help. Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40, 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check VincentsJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Larry Connors here. Is your home ready for the chilly months ahead? Renewal by Anderson has a buy one, get one 50% off window event. And if you qualify, 18 months, no payments, zero interest. Not sure if it's the right time? Renewal makes it easy. No obligation window inspection. Just find out what new windows might cost when you're ready. No pressure, no hassle. And remember, no one but Renewal by Anderson can offer Fibrex, the proprietary window frame material, 200% stronger than vinyl. Means durability, efficiency, beauty that lasts every season. What are you waiting for? Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com and get your consultation. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.